glad to be back in real time at Adventures in Artslandia, because this summer has been a multitude of trips and ins and outs and in advance, and so this is really happening now. And it is the Beirut Wedding World Theater Project, which is being led by Bobby Bermea, Jamie Ray, and Tiffany Groban, all of whom are here. And it's a new company. Just looking forward to hearing all about what the company is all about. So hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Doing great.
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank
you.
Great.
Excellent. Those are the people that I just mentioned. That was Tiffany, Jamie, and Bobby. And what, first of all, I'm curious why the title, the Beirut Wedding World Theater Project?
Beirut Wedding comes from a photograph I saw years and years ago now. And it was a picture of a man and a woman who had just gotten married. And they were still in their full wedding regalia. He was in his tux and she's in her wedding gown. And they were tiptoeing through the bombed out streets of Beirut, Lebanon. The picture was taken during the religious war that happened there in the early 1980s. I remember looking at that picture and thinking, whatever this picture is saying to me, that's what I would like to say with my art. And I remember the caption of the photograph said that the woman was Muslim and the man was Christian. And, you know, so it became like this thing about people coming together over differences.
I like the idea that photograph has incredible disparity in it, like beauty,
right.
like agony and the ecstasy.
And right the, exactly. And the picture is really astonishing. And, you know, love among the ruins, and, you know, the spirit of a blade of grass that makes its way up through a sidewalk, you know, or a single flower that grows in a desert, something, you know, and a million things that you could put onto it. And then I remember years later when Jamie and I were talking about putting this company together, and we were looking up the name, or I was looking up that photograph, rather, we found out that during that war, there was an actual movement among the young people of Beirut to deliberately marry across religious lines in order to protest the war.
Oh.
You know, exactly. You know, and it's cool because there's so many times, and you know, this election year has been a prime example, where it's just like human beings, just as a rule, just are really like frustrate you, and it feels like, you know, what the hell is wrong with us as a species? And then there are other times when human beings are spectacularly beautiful.
Mm, yep.
And we really do things that are wonderful and amazing. And we break all the rules and challenge all our preconceptions in ways that are new and exciting and inspiring.
We bring up our better angels.
We really do.
I love
we
that
really
phrase.
Do, you know?
It's been coming up again and again for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now, Jamie and you had, this was your brainchild together. Now, how did Tiffany get involved, and how are you guys all acting within the company?
Well, Tiffany is not an actual part of the company.
Mm-hmm.
She is, however, the star of the show.
Aha.
You know, and she did bring us, like, she emailed me a while ago.
This is the piece you're talking about.
Reborning.
Is Reborning.
Right.
Okay, which is coming, opening October 28th.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and I remember, you know, she was like, hey, you know, I'd like to work with you sometime. And I'm like, sure. You know, because, you know, we all say that all the time, and we all mean it.
Right.
You know, it's just kind of like nothing ever happens, though.
Right.
You know, like 90% of the time.
Right. It takes a lot as an artist to make work happen. And everyone's like, oh, I want to work with you. Okay, right. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And
it's not that I don't
right.
want
right.
to.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first thing it takes is a certain amount of willpower,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a few months later, Tiffany's like, I have a script.
Good for you. That's great. I mean, that's kind of interesting, actually, because I'm sure a lot of the people who are listening are artists themselves who probably want to do that for themselves. So how did you go about it? Was this the only company you brought the script to?
Yes.
So you were adamant about this particular company.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've been wanting to work with Bobby for a while, and I didn't get any work last season for theater, like in full productions, and I was like, I really, you know.
That's always sucks.
Yeah, and I was like, I really want to do work. I still really want to work my artistic side and stuff. And so I was like, you know what? I should just look at scripts, and if I find a play, I should bring it to somebody and I should produce it. And
so how many scripts did you look at?
Over 100.
And how did you find them?
I just randomly would get them. Like, I would go on to Samuel French, or I think the other one's DPS or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would just, like, randomly go on there and, like, scroll through, and if, like, a name sounded interesting.
Tenacious.
Yeah.
That's tenacious. I mean, I don't think a lot of people are doing that stuff. I mean, I know that's the kind of work that it takes hours and hours of looking and reading and then, you know, putting things in front of people who have a company. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I when I came across this play, I was like, oh man, Bobby Bermain has to direct this. This has got to be it. So,
oh, that's great.
So I was like, you know, he might say no, and then I'll, you know, have to figure out something else, but he's the one. He's the one. Like, and so I got him to read the script, and somehow I got him to want to do it with me.
Well, that's great. What, what interested you about the script that you thought this is number one for our company? That's a big thing.
You know, it was funny. We were actually working on a project that we're still planning on doing, but it's a big project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like, I picked up Reborning as a script, and I was going to, like, read it on my break or something, you know, which I did, you know, and then I wound up, like, finishing it all in one shot, you know, and I was like, oh, wow, I really, actually really like this script.
You know what, actually, who wrote the play?
Zade Dorn.
Thank you. I thought, that's remiss. Hello.
Sorry, Zade.
Hi, Zade.
And what's cool about the play and what's cool about it for this company is that, you know, we feel like what we want to do is, like, challenge the dominant societal paradigm with our theater. And a lot of times, like, you know, like Tiffany's situation, for instance, you know, I mean, I feel like I look around with my own two eyes, and I feel like, and I'm totally making up these numbers, it feels like 75% of the theater artists in Portland are women, and 25% of the lead roles are for women.
Well, that's a fact. I mean, there's national numbers now, so we all know that we're underrepresented.
You know, certainly, you know, and like that's one of the things that, and you know, and not even necessarily from this, like, walking down the street with the fist in the air kind of thing, but we want to feel like we want to are creating art that more accurately represents the world that we live in.
All right, there's so many cool stories that haven't been told. So, speaking of stories, what would you say is the driving, you know, through line of the play? It's obviously about a woman, and you are the featured actress in it. What's her journey consist of? Is it something unique to, in your view?
How do I say this without giving anything away?
There's a big mystery of the play.
There's a mystery. Okay, that's good to know. There's a mystery. So I would say
about,
for you two women, obviously it's a project that interested you, so it was going to reveal something about womanhood or about a story that you think had been underrepresented or under...
Yes.
Yeah, when Bobby brought it to me, because he said yes, he was interested in directing it, and Tiffany, and he talked about doing it before he brought it to me to say, no, really, I think we should do it for real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a three-hander. It's an intimate piece, mm-hmm. Which is a good place to start. You asked, like, why choose to begin? And we had, as Bobby said, we'd been talking about there's a festival that we're working on. That's actually a really big thing. It's turning out to take a much longer calendar time period to pull that together. So having something intimate to begin with, Bobby and I are also very interested in intimate theater, in theater where we remember that we are all in the same room together, where we really are having that live experience that you're not distancing yourself from. And this is a great piece for that. It's got three people in it, two of whom are female. Both of them are strong, independent, complicated women. In terms of the, if you were going to put, it's really a play that doesn't have types, which is one of the things that's interesting about it. They are too multidimensional to be stereotypical. But even if you were to boil it down and say, who am I looking for, the more caring partner in the relationship is the guy. The woman is the one who is who's angry and fighting through her own issues.
Mm.
Other woman, she's a big part of the mystery. Yeah, she is. She's an enigma. And actually, that's a big part of the of the whole piece. She is for her, like she's trying to figure out what's going on for her too. Mm-hmm. And she kind of comes to recognize a piece of that at the end. And
is the show fully cast now?
Yes. Oh. Jana Lee Hamblin plays Emily.
Who's currently in Trevor. Mm-hmm.
And Murray Lazaroff Babin is Daisy, who's the boyfriend.
Oh, great.
And Tiffany Grogan is Kelly.
Excellent.
Our leading lady. But it's a piece, the sort of basic plot-wise, the title Reborning comes from Kelly's profession. She makes reborn dolls, which you should definitely Google because it's a surprisingly creepy profession.
Actually, I remember when I read the... Yes, that's very strange.
Yeah, so they make like actual... Yeah, they're incredible, realistic to the touch baby dolls that look like actual children. Like you send a picture of your baby and the artist will recreate your child down to weight and the little Malia on their face.
Oh my gosh, but they don't cry or anything.
But they don't cry or anything, do they?
For some reason you would want such a thing.
So it's fascinating. So that's what she does for a living. And Emily, Jan's character, is her client, comes to her and is asking her to make this doll. And she's, she keeps going back and forth because it's not quite right.
Oh,
and
that
we're like the why and the how and and what that...
People's perceptions of what they want.
Yeah, and what it's stirring up in you. Because it's, we talk about it looking at the... you were talking earlier... just about the state of our world right now and the ideas of feminine and where is that a strength as opposed to something that we need to fight in order to be equal. Mm-hmm. And this piece has a lot of questions like that about being a mother or not being a mother, which is an issue for both Emily and Kelly. Mm-hmm. About the issue of creation, whether that is of child, of art, of your life, of, what is that... what is that drive in us? How does it manifest?
It's so interesting now because with our planetary issues of overpopulation and that creation may also, or the act of creating another person may be, something that has to kind of wane a bit.
Yeah.
And that if, I always wondered, creative artists, I mean, I get really excited when I'm working. I get a huge amount of joy from it.
Mm-hmm.
And, the act of creativity is, it's
a biological thing.
And it's inherent. Yeah. I mean, it's actually a very savage instinct.
Mm.
It's something that will always be there as long as, human beings
are
around.
To make.
Right. And it's one of the, really exciting things about us and rewarding. I've gotten to... arguing with people when in the theater community, we constantly have wars with each other and we get jealous and whatever all the stuff goes on. But I never worry about an actor going nuts and killing 30 people in a movie theater, or I never worry about an actor because our final thing, the thing that we want to do is we want to make something,
right.
And one of the basic fundamental things about this story is about this desire and where it comes from and how it manifests and who does the act of creation belong to?
Mm-hmm.
Does it belong to the artist? Does it belong to the patron of the art? And this question, who receives it?
Who's the bottom line?
Right.
Yeah.
And there's all this stuff that Jamie's talking about, what is the definition of motherhood in the 21st century, of femininity, Tiffany sent me this, surprise play. I was like, what?
Okay, so now here's a curious question. Why a man directing it?
Bobby was the perfect person for this show.
Why?
Because it's got, how do I explain it? There's, creepy stuff in it,
mm-hmm.
that does well, and then
so
there's
have,
also
they want you for the creepy,
yeah,
right. But then there's also one of the things that really drew me to this play is the connection. I like small plays for, you know, because the, of the connection that the audience has with the people, but then also just the need for connection with Kelly and Daisy and Emily, and they're like going about it the wrong way, and like, aren't we all, like, in life, aren't we all like going about it the wrong way? And I feel like from what I've seen from Bobby, like, he directs really well with the connection of the actors and the truth being told. And
you probably trust him, because I know as an actress myself that you want to be working with someone who you trust and that is going to take care of your baby, no pun intended, but your heart, you know, your heart, your soul, the play, the process is very, very tender.
Yeah. So I feel like he's just perfect for being the director, and also because he's very respectful of women and like the fact that we're equals, you know, like that women are equal to men and that we can all do art together and be
collaborators.
I'm gonna speak to that too, just a little bit, to touch again on what we were talking about before. You know, one of the reasons that Bobby and I like being partners is that even though we come from different communities of people who have their own unequal struggles, you know, African American, Hispanic, feminine, etc. What we are finding in one of the driving forces behind Beirut Wedding as a company, we want to be noticing those locus points where those things that define us can bring us together, where we can see that actually our struggle for equal rights, for equal representation, for, you know, being paid equally for our time, for being respected as for what we bring that is different, rather than trying to be the same. Because that's actually not the best for all of us.
I could not agree more with that.
You know? Like, and so instead saying, if we look at how this struggle manifests in women, and then we look at how this struggle manifests in the African-American community, and we look at how this struggle manifests in the Asian community, and see how actually this is all the same struggle. It has a different face, and it has particular specifics that are part of what make it beautiful. But we're actually
and
all
not so
having the same.
In some cases.
Yeah, and absolutely, absolutely, and not so beautiful in some cases. But that we are all having the same struggle. That it's actually the same conversation, with, you know, insert different proper noun here. And so, how can we see ourselves in the stories of others, and then hopefully learn to listen to each other better?
Yeah, a driving thing behind this piece is, and it's specifically with Kelly and Emily, the enigma, these women are trying to define themselves on their own terms, you know, and like, she's, you know, Kelly's, you know, entirely feminine in her book, whatever that means, and, but she wants to like make the decision as to what that is, you know, Emily is conflicted because she has 1 foot in the 20th century and 1 foot in the 21st century, and you know, and trying to figure out, you know, what it means to, you know, she's like, you know, I'm about my career, but this thing happened, and you know, a huge part of the play is about loss, you know, but like, it was like they want to define themselves and they want to be in control of that, you know, and I feel like that need in itself is one that you feel like everybody can relate to that,
right.
You know, everybody, you know, I want to like define myself outside of your preconceptions.
I want to walk in my truth,
right?
Yeah,
without anybody else having a say in what I want to be or how I look,
how I express myself.
You know, like with both these women, it ain't easy. You know, it's, you know, to do that, it takes a tremendous act of will, you know, and it's hard work and
a tremendous act of courage.
And you might not even like where you wind up at, you know, and be like, in order to be yourself, it doesn't mean that you're going to be happy.
Yeah, that's the whole problem with life, you know, it keeps going, even when you're figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, I wasn't quite finished.
You know, if you think you've, you know, arrived, you're screwed, you know, you're never going to get to a place where you're like, man, I'm here. Whew! You know, it's just not going to happen. You know, you're going to get to a place and you got to keep going. And, you know, and that's something that this script, I think, you know, it's not quite an hour and a half. And it's three characters, and I feel like it gets at all that, mm-hmm. you know, real quickly, real succinctly, with a lot of humor and a little bit of creepiness. Yeah.
Where will you be performing?
Action Adventure.
Great. And where's that located?
1050 Southeast Clinton Street. It's right by the Max stop for the Orange Line, the new one on Milwaukee, where 11th and 12th split by Powell.
I love it. I've been trying to every day take the bus for Max and not drive, and it has been so much fun. I love it.
Yeah,
you have to take a lot of time, but boy, I was on the Orange Line for the first time yesterday.
Yeah.
I liked it. Feel good about it.
The theater is literally by the 9, the 17, the 19,
70.
The 70, and the Orange Line. They are all within a block.
Oh, just as we're thinking about it, we should really reach out to TriNet and say,
yeah,
just
right?
We put all the theater routes on one map. That would be so
fun. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Jenny,
I'll write it down.
Could you do that? I mean, I just, you know, what the heck? And you can always have fun when you're going to the theater on the bus with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Max.
It gives you time to talk about what you've seen.
Wait a minute.
You know?
That's another story. Okay. That's another tune in.
You know, to address a little more of your question of Bobby as the director, it's both atmospherically, very aesthetically, very appropriate for him artistically.
Mm-hmm.
He does also have a really profound curiosity and interest in and excitement about, as well as respect for women,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the reasons I like him so much. And
he's looking very curiously at it's like, what the hell's going on over there?
And thus we make art together. We also, however, have he's not the only one in the room. You know, theater is collaborative by design, and Bobby and I are extremely collaborative artists. It's one of the reasons we like this industry and this medium within this industry in particular. Our scenic designer and our lighting designer are both female.
Who are they?
Our Emily Wilkin,
mm-hmm.
is our scenic designer, and Kimberly Williams is our lighting designer.
Great.
Our stage manager, what's Corey's last name?
McCary.
Corey McCary is our stage manager to give Bobby a little, Bobby and Murray a little testosterone balance in the room. But the majority of the artists on the project are female, so there's still a lot of balance and conversation to bring that, how do we express ourselves differently
it's
than
cool.
they express
I
themselves.
Mean, it's interesting. I just recently started thinking about how I am in a process and what pieces of my personal puzzle, how I represent myself well and how I don't serve myself. And it's such a cool opportunity when you're working, as you guys will be, to, you know, work on those things when you're in the process.
I really love how you just said, and the ways that I don't do well by myself. I can't remember exactly
serve
how you
myself.
Said. Yeah, how I don't serve myself well. I feel like that's one of the things that is most interesting to me about the play.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see all three of the characters have great, like, moments where they are really serving themselves and each other well, and moments where they like fail spectacularly,
mm-hmm.
all three of them. And that, and there is compassion in the storytelling of it, in the
mm-hmm.
writing of them,
mm-hmm.
That we care about them even when they do that, that we recognize the struggle and how complicated it is to express ourselves. Whether that is in making art or in having a conversation or in resolving a conflict, you know, that
just
or sometimes,
down the street
as you say, yeah, or sometimes just trying to make breakfast in the morning.
Yeah, my daughter lives in New York now, so people kept calling me. I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Now how do you as a woman now? What, you know, on Facebook you see people referring to that, you know, what
yeah.
do I do? Do I say? Do I stop? Do I talk? Do I yell? It's like, whoa, that's just like a little tiny moment of time.
Right?
It's a grain of rice.
It's so funny. It's like I was just, you know, talking to a fellow today, it's like, and you know, I mean, since high school, I have never been like a real jerk to women,
you know, like on the street.
You were a jerk in high school.
But yeah, I had my moments.
All right.
You know.
Okay, so we get it.
You know, right, you know.
He's seen both sides.
And it was specifically women who specifically took me aside, like, Bobby, you can do better. You know.
Wow, that's impressive.
And like I could go back and I could like list like this step, like this woman was this step, and then she was this step, and then she was this step. You know, and it's like, you know, I mean, and that's the thing, you know, like right now, we are in the middle of this period of time where what those roles are and what we do and don't do is changing. You know, and I mean, it's like we're in this period where, you know, gender itself is being questioned, you know.
Or it's more, seems like it's revealing itself as to be much more complicated than we
sure.
were like, no, we like this too.
Right.
Easy. Nope. Yeah. There's all sorts of fantastic, and it's no surprise when you look at a snowflake, you're like, yeah.
How would there not be as many shades of people?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, you know, it doesn't have to be like this this thing that's static.
Nope.
You know, and you know, and it's like Kelly and Emily. I mean, that's their whole thing. You know, I'm my own person.
Yeah.
Right.
And I can be as many things as I want to be. I don't fit into just one box. That's another thing about this play that I really appreciate with, like, it's so hard to find plays that have good, strong female parts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, she's all about, like, I can be feminine, but I don't have to be, you know, like, there's so many, I can be messed up, but I can also be a normal human, you know, like, there's just a lot of...
Was this play on the Kilroy list? I'm just curious.
I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't
I'm just
either.
Curious.
It's
I thought
an excellent
maybe
question.
Might have found it that way.
Yeah. It's relatively new.
Mm-hmm. I think 2012...
Is that the list where it's like,
had,
if the first if a script has, like, two women who talk about something other than a man and...
Oh no, that's
women,
the
right?
That's the B list. Zeta's not. Yeah.
List.
No, that yeah, that's like Zeta's Alice
a man.
Yeah.
Zeta's a man. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then no.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking of the B. Starts with the B. Her last name.
You know, and I think two other facets of that question, like why me or like why a man. I'm the man that the woman chose. You know, like Tiffany made that choice.
Right.
You know, and part
right.
of it is being, you know,
we didn't
you know,
make the choice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, you know.
And it wasn't because he was a man,
right?
You know,
because
had to do
as an artist.
Yeah.
You know, and two, you know, like, I care. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I feel like we should also. I mean, part of the trick and like part of the thing with like Baby Wedding is we want to make sure that we want to find a way to, you know, create avenues to people caring about each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just being invested in what is most obviously, you know, good for them or about them, you know.
To
you
say
know.
this play has a leading female in it, that doesn't mean men shouldn't come see it.
Right.
You know,
it's
like,
okay.
Well,
it's just
I'm also thinking men have all sorts of interesting things to learn, so come see plays about women.
You know?
Skip a couple of those parts where you're having to grow in real life. Just watch it in a
play. Right. Watch like, somebody else grow
oh,
for you.
Oh, that was a fail.
Totally.
If only somebody just told me.
Yeah, it's like,
I think,
oh, go ahead.
Oh, I think, too, like, one of the things that Bobby and I are excited about is... again, goes back to those things that define us, that are different, and seeing how can we actually use those to make each other better,
mm-hmm.
you know? How does me being more female help you be a better man? How does him being a better man help me be a better woman? How does him being African-American help me be a better...
To my mind, it's about coming forward with yourself. Not
yeah.
really black, white, woman, man, if you bring your full self to the table and tell someone who you are,
mm-hmm.
then they tell you who they are, then you can meet up.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's a super complicated thing.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
It's simple. It's one of
right.
those funny
oxymorons
or a paradox.
Right.
You know, like,
easy
oh,
to explain
so
and
easy.
Yep.
Because it's hard to tell the truth.
Right.
Yeah. It's hard, and again, like, to keep talking about the play. It's hard to know the truth
Yeah.
Like sometimes it can be hard to find it.
Right. Yeah.
Even when that's what you are trying to do.
Yeah.
There's so much either from stuff that's happened to you or from stuff you're afraid of and so you're just not looking at it right now, you know, or whatever that is, that just to add a level of why how hard that can be.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's hard anyway
right.
to be vulnerable that way. And then twice as hard sometimes even when you're trying to find it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, the Beirut Wedding World Theater Project is now a thing, and they have a website. And they're actually having a fundraiser tomorrow, unfortunately, since this podcast will be on Monday. But if you want to make a donation to this theater, if what we're talking about sounds interesting to you, then you can go to www.beirutwedding.org, and you can make a donation, or you can see when the show is, which is opening October 28th, starring Tiffany Groban. And thank you guys for coming. And
tickets are on sale now.
All best in your the work you're doing there. It sounds really exciting.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
And thanks for celebrating the arts in this way, in a consistent way.
Mm.
Like having
thank
we
you.
To do this. Yeah. As media is changing and so coverage is changing,
mm-hmm.
thank you for providing a consistent something that people can tap into to just
thank
be
you welcome.
Excited
it's
about.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah.
I keep doing it.
Yeah.
Right on.